Okay, imagine this. You're a doctor, and you just told your patient they'll have a perfect hand after surgery.
Sounds reassuring, right?
But then, the promise kind of blows up in your face.
Yeah, that's definitely not ideal.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into a case that'll send shivers down any professional spine, but especially if you're in the legal field.
This case, it's called McGee v. United States Fidelity and Guaranty Co.
Catchy title.
Right. It really throws open the doors to insurance law and reveals this fine line between what's medical malpractice and what's just a straight-up broken contract.
And I'm guessing that difference can really cost you.
Oh, absolutely. Way more than you might have bargained for.
So let's rewind the clock back to 1925. We've got Dr. McGee, a physician in New Hampshire, and he's staring down a lawsuit from his patient, George Hawkins.
Sounds rough.
Yeah, well, surgery Dr. McGee did, it didn't exactly go to plan.
Uh-oh.
And Hawkins' hand, it ended up worse than before.
Oh.
So here's where things get really interesting. Hawkins decides to sue Dr. McGee, not just for negligence, like what we usually think of as medical malpractice, but also for breach of contract.
Hold on, breach of contract? What?
Yeah, he's claiming that the whole perfect hand promise,
Yeah.
that actually created a legally binding agreement.
Oh, I see where this is going.
And of course, Dr. McGee, well, he didn't exactly deliver on that
Oh,
promise.
I bet Dr. McGee wished he could take back that perfect part.
Now, you'd think malpractice insurance would have his back in a situation like this, right?
Yeah, it seems like a no-brainer.
And at first, they did agree to defend him, but then, get this, they totally abandoned him.
What? They just left him high and dry.
They claimed the perfect hand promise, it wasn't covered under his policy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's the big issue at the heart of this whole case.
So what did they say? Why wasn't it covered?
The insurance company argued that by making a guarantee, Dr. McGee stepped outside the boundaries of regular medical negligence. You see, his policy, it covered things like malpractice errors or mistakes, the kind of stuff that falls under what we call tort law.
I'm following you.
But they claimed that the promise, that created a whole separate contract, and that put Dr. McGee squarely in the realm of contract law.
Okay, so two different legal arenas.
Precisely. And you know what happened? Even though a jury found Dr. McGee liable for breaking his promise, for breaching the contract,
Yeah.
his insurance still wouldn't pay up.
Seriously.
Yet they said the liability stemmed from the contract, not from malpractice, which is what his policy was all about.
Wow, what a mess.
This case really drives home the point that there's a huge difference between simply providing a service and making a legally binding promise, a promise that you might not be able to keep.
Yeah, huge difference.
So, okay, how did the court actually justify siding with the insurance company? It feels a little unfair to leave Dr. McGee high and dry after he made that promise, even if it wasn't exactly legally smart.
Well, the court's decision, it really all boiled down to that fundamental difference between tort law and contract law, which, we were talking about earlier.
Right.
And it's super important to understand that distinction, especially, for anyone heading into law as a profession.
Yeah, I think a lot of our listeners would agree a little refresher on tort versus contract would be helpful right about now.
For sure. So when we talk about malpractice, we're usually talking about tort law.
Okay.
And it's all about failing to meet the accepted standard of care in, in whatever profession we're talking about.
Right.
In Dr. McGee's case, that would mean he performed the surgery negligently.
Got it.
But remember, he went a step further and actually guaranteed a specific outcome.
Yeah, the perfect pan.
Exactly. And that's where contract law enters the picture.
So it's like he was juggling two different legal balls at the same time.
Exactly. And those two balls, unfortunately for Dr. McGee, they landed in two very different courts.
Oh, that's rough.
The insurance policy, it covered actions that fell under tort law, those malpractice errors or mistakes that we keep bringing up.
Right.
But promising a specific result,
Yeah.
that's a whole other ball game
Totally.
that creates a contract, a separate and binding agreement.
So the court basically said your insurance policy is like a legal contract itself, and it doesn't say anything about broken promises.
Exactly. Insurance policies, they are interpreted very strictly.
Okay.
If a claim falls outside of what's specifically covered in the policy of the insurance company, they're not obligated to pay up.
I see.
That's why understanding the nuances of contract language is so important, both for protecting yourself and for advising your clients.
Okay, that makes sense. But there's another part of this case that I'm still kind of struggling with.
What's that?
The insurance company, they initially decided to defend Dr. McGee, and then later they withdrew their support. So how could they just change their minds like that?
It definitely seems a bit unfair, right? Like they pulled the rug out from under him.
Yeah.
But it gets into this kind of complicated area of insurance law.
Okay, go on.
You see, an insurer's duty to defend a policyholder, it's actually broader than their duty to indemnify.
Hold on, hold on. I think you might need to explain that one. What does indemnify even mean?
Good point. It essentially means to compensate for a loss or to pay damages, you know.
Okay.
So in simpler terms, the insurance company, they might be obligated to start defending you in a lawsuit,
Right.
even if they aren't totally sure if they'll be responsible for covering the costs in the end.
Oh, I see.
So they might jump in at first,
Wow.
but once they realize the case hinges on something their policy doesn't cover, like a broken promise instead of actual negligence, they can basically say, "See you later."
So that's what happened to Dr. McGee.
Exactly. Once the details of the case came out and it became clear that the liability came from this contract he created and not medical negligence as defined by the policy,
Yeah.
well, the insurance company had a good reason to withdraw their defense.
So even if you have insurance, you're not necessarily in the clear if you make promises that go beyond what your policy actually covers.
That's the big lesson here.
Got it.
It's a serious reminder that even professionals with insurance need to be really careful about the kinds of commitments they make.
Especially in situations where you don't know how things are going to turn out.
Exactly.
This whole case, it's like a cautionary tale, and not just for doctors.
Right.
It feels relevant for anyone going into a profession where what you say can have, like some serious legal and financial consequences.
Yeah, I agree.
What are some things that our listeners should be thinking about, especially, all those future lawyers out there?
You know, McGee v. United States Fidelity and Guaranty Co., it's like a huge warning sign, right? It reminds us how powerful words can be, especially when those words accidentally create contracts, you know?
Yeah.
And as lawyers, well, words are kind of our bread and butter.
Yeah,
We draft contracts, we advise clients, we argue cases in court. It's easy to forget that a simple phrase, it can turn into a legal nightmare.
so it's not just about knowing the law.
Right.
It's about choosing your words really carefully.
Exactly. McGee highlights how important it is to be really meticulous when you're drafting and reviewing policies.
Gotcha.
As lawyers, we have to be masters of precision, making sure that contracts lay out exactly what is and isn't covered.
Right.
You know, ambiguities in insurance contracts, they're often interpreted against the insurer, but clear exclusions, like the one about contractual guarantees in Dr. McGee's policy, those are usually upheld in court.
So as future lawyers, we need to be extra careful, both when we're writing agreements and when we're advising our clients about their insurance coverage.
Oh, absolutely.
Got it.
Part of being a good advocate is managing expectations and making sure your clients, they really understand what their insurance policies cover.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Overpromising, like whether it's guaranteeing you'll win a case or promising a specific timeline, it can create those accidental contract obligations that we've been talking about.
Right.
And those can come back to bite you or your client later on.
It's like that saying, under promise and over deliver.
Yeah.
But in this situation, it's more like be super clear about what you're promising and double check that your insurance actually covers it.
Couldn't have put it better myself.
And don't be afraid to reach out to experts in things like insurance law when you run into a tricky situation.
Yeah, good advice.
Getting a second opinion, that can be really valuable, especially when you're dealing with a contract that could cost you or your client a lot of money.
I agree.
This whole discussion about the insurance company first defending Dr. McGee and then dropping him, it's still kind of spinning in my head.
Yeah, I get it.
It seems like there's a lot for law students to learn from that part of the case, too.
Absolutely. It shows how important it is to really understand the details of the insurer's duty to defend.
Right.
Remember that duty can be triggered even when it's not clear if the policy will end up covering the claim.
Yeah.
So for lawyers, this means being prepared to advise your clients about their rights and responsibilities throughout the entire legal process, even if an insurer steps in at first to provide a defense.
Away.
Things can change, just like we saw with Dr. McGee,
Yeah.
and you need to be ready to shift your strategy if you need to.
So McGee v. United States Fidelity and Guaranty Company, a case from almost 100 years ago, it's still teaching us some important lessons.
For sure.
It reminds us that words have power, contracts are serious, and insurance policies need to be looked at very carefully.
Well said. And remember, law, like surgery, it comes with some risks.
Sure.
But with careful planning, clear communication, and a good understanding of the legal stuff, you can handle those risks and have a successful and ethical legal career.
It sounds like the biggest takeaway here is to always read the fine print.
Yeah, that's it.
It could really save you and your clients a lot of trouble.
Couldn't agree more.
And on that note, we're wrapping up our deep dive into McGee v. United States Fidelity and Guarantee Co. We hope you found this journey through insurance law and contract law insightful.
I did.
We encourage you to keep exploring this fascinating world of legal cases.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
There's always something new to learn. And who knows, maybe one day you'll be the one sharing legal knowledge with the next generation of lawyers.
That's the goal.
Okay, that's all for today. See you next time.